Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugar coating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. We're gearing up for the World Series. I have a question about the pre- and post-game show in a moment.
Sure.
But let's wrap up our Oregon-Michigan Trundle Thunder. Now, we're not getting Dan Lanning this week. He is treating this trip as a business trip.
Well, and I think at this point, coaches are understanding that the travel so far with the Big Ten teams, whether it's east to west, west to east, it's been problematic for teams.
No question.
Yeah.
And he knows that,
yeah.
And they're leaving tomorrow, so they're traveling tomorrow.
Yeah,
and he didn't have time today. This one has Lanning and Oregon's attention because it has nothing to do with necessarily the X and O's we're talking about. It has to do with this is the longest trip that they've had yet. They're going to the defending champs, and it is a very tough environment with 110,000 people. That has got their attention. And they, you know, there's a lot of logistics to go into getting out there.
Yeah, and when you look at Michigan on tape, and obviously Oregon does, you may find a lot of holes in their game. Obviously, right? You're going to look at it and be like, hey, they can't do this, they can't do that. They're not quite as dominant on defense, but also there will be NFL guys. I mentioned all those guys, the running backs, Loveland, you know, Graham and Will Johnson, like. They're when you watch film, NFL guys stick out. I mean, even on the dominant college teams, dude, there's a bunch of dudes that aren't very good players when you watch film. Trust me. Like, I don't care what team, even Alabama and Georgia, like you'll watch tape and you'll be like, dude, the left guard sucks. But the guys that are really good stick out. And when you watch Illinois play and you watch, Michigan State, you may have one or two guys that stand out on film. I promise you, when they watch Michigan, there's 9 or 10 guys that you circle and be like, hey, dude, that's a guy. Like, that's a dude right there, as Danny likes to say. And so that's going to get coaches' attention. Even the fact that Michigan is a 3-loss team, even though we watch them and we know they're not very good, the talent and the players alone will get your attention, let alone, as you said, the travel and the big house and all that goes into it. They will be buttoned up on this one. They will not overlook Michigan, I can assure you.
Yeah, and you know, Michigan, too, you think about them, it's like outside of the championship year.
Yeah.
And even that, was it a really great offense? They've never really had a great offense.
No.
Almost never.
No, they run the ball, play defense.
Exactly. And they just ride their big boys. Yep. And that is a test. That is going to be a test. Sure. That's what they want to do. They want to hang around and hope you wear out late in the game.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, I don't know. It shouldn't be taken lightly. And I know the Ducks are not taking it lightly. That said, on the Vancouver Ford text line, Deal is in with a great point. And he says, if you take away the Georgia, Oregon State, and Washington losses from Dan Lanning, and you give him Nick Saban's 7 national titles, Lanning has never lost and has 7 national titles.
That is such a good point. So, I mean,
think about that.
I mean, look, just build the statue now. I did have someone, it's so weird sometimes, fans, because I said at the beginning of the year how much we liked Oregon, but that Lanning's never won anything. I'm like, you know, to call him a top 3 or 4 coach in the country. I was like, he's never won anything. Someone messaged me the other day and was like, is Sue going to acknowledge that he said that Dan Lanning hadn't won anything and now he's saying that they're going to win the Big Ten? Where's that talk about Lanning not having won anything? And I kind of sat there and I was like, oh my God. Like, these are the way people really think. Well, one, he still hasn't won anything other than he beat Ohio State. You kind of got to win. And you realize that saying someone hasn't won anything, and then when they do win something, your opinion can change because, well, they went and won something. Fans are the best. The mental gymnastics are fantastic. And I will say with this Oregon team, you look at the rest of the schedule, I just have faith. I think Oregon will go undefeated this regular season. And then the Big Ten title game, whether that's Indiana, whether that's Penn State, whether that's Ohio State, that will go back to being a big boy slobber knocker. I just don't think you're going to see anything that's going to test you the way Ohio State did, unless you have one of those games for whatever reason, you're sloppy, turn the ball over, shoot yourself in the foot.
Well, Deal was, of course, joking about the Nick Saban text, but he did say, take out Georgia, Lanning has only lost by a total of 13 points.
Yeah, it's the only
and
game
that is true.
Yeah, it's the only game they were thumped.
So he's lost five games. Yeah. He's lost to Georgia, got hammered in his very first game. Yeah. He lost to Washington three times, mm-hmm. and then he lost that Civil War game.
Yeah, all by one scores.
So Lanning, he is 11-0 straight up as a road favorite. Mm-hmm. That is the most in college football since 2022, most wins. He is 9-2 against the spread as a road favorite. In those 11 games, Oregon is winning by an average of 26 points per game. He is also 23-1 straight up as a double-digit favorite. Mm. And, of course, the one loss there being that Civil War game. Yeah. So he's you know, look, you got to finish it off.
Yeah.
But
it's there for
he
you.
Is building quite a resume. Yeah. And this team is, I mean, there's just not a lot of weaknesses, man. They're stacked all over the place.
Yep.
So this season in particular, compared to all the other good seasons that Oregon has had leading up to this, this season just feels different.
Yeah, it does.
And so that's why I think a lot of people aren't really worried about going into Michigan, even though you probably should be.
Don't take Michigan lightly. I'll just say that's and he's not.
Should he run a fake Statue of Liberty? Do you think he knows about the fake Statue of Liberty?
I think he's aware. And I contend that is as slick a play, because I was making the rounds today. Dude, that is as slick a play as you will ever see. And it fooled the broadcast.
It was especially slick because they set it up with a real Statue of Liberty yeah. play earlier in the game. Yeah. And so they went back to it in the red zone, and everyone's like, oh, they're going to do it again. And Dixon just paused a second. Yeah. Slid right in.
Takes a lot of balls to sit there. Like Dixon just sits there with it tucked behind his back. One like that's
he gives it a count there yeah. where you're just totally yeah. vulnerable and exposed. It was pretty impressive.
Well, I think he should run one.
Sure,
that may be one of those if you get up by enough. You know, the Lions did that last week. The Lions were bludgeoning the Titans so much they were just doing it. Like they were like, ah, let's just dig in the back. They're just having fun. Unlike the Bears, who in the midst of trying to win a game are handing the ball off on the goal line to their backup offensive lineman. There's a time and a place, boys.
I saw something that, like, in the last month, the Lions have more touchdowns than incompletions. It's like they have 18 touchdowns and 16 incompletions or yeah. something like
well,
that.
Well, that was live here on the radio with your boys, Isaac and Suk, if you were
was that
paying
here today?
Attention yeah. to the show.
I don't know if it was today,
that
but
was
you,
last week.
You probably heard that on yeah. this very program.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was like three games, 19... Nah, I don't know what it was. It was like 19 touchdowns, 18 incompletions.
Yeah. They're doing something stupid up there.
Well, yeah, good on you for bringing that one up.
Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Appreciate you listening.
You can make an argument. Best team in football. The
DJ. We're listening to the dude's story.
So, you know, again, Derek Harmon played at Michigan State.
Yes. Not a big fan of Michigan.
And he came out and he said, this is what he said about the Big House. He said, surprisingly, it's not that loud.
Yeah.
He said that.
I know.
You don't need to say that this week.
Yeah,
shouldn't have. But he did.
And he might, even if he's right, you know.
Well, he said, so the decibel thing, you know, do you buy into the decibel levels?
I don't. I mean.
I mean, it is a thing. It's a measurable thing.
It is, but I also wonder, where is that put in the stadium? And, you know, I just, it's loud.
Well, like, at the Big House, their decibel high is 110.
Yeah.
100 and, what do they have, 105,000 people
It's 100
there?
Plus.
Oregon has 60,000, and their decibel high is 127.
See, I find that interesting that, and you know, people talk about the way the stadium is created, but it's not like Oregon has huge overhangs. I find it fascinating that you're telling me that 40 or 50 plus thousand extra people, that's why sometimes those stadiums I just roll my eyes at. And I'm like, I don't know, they're all loud. I've been in a lot of different loud stadiums, and the idea that, like, I've been to, you've been to a game in Arrowhead, right?
Mm. Many.
Dude, it is, that place is ridiculous.
It's deafening.
It's so loud.
Yeah.
And then a game in the Metrodome back when the Vikings played, it was really loud. And Old Husky Stadium was really loud. And Alabama was really loud. I don't know as a player if I've ever been to a place. If you ask me what's the loudest stadium I've ever been, it's probably the last one that I was in when the place was going wild. Husky Stadium 2 years ago, or I guess that was not 2 years ago, just last year, new Husky Stadium when Oregon played there was ridiculous. Like I couldn't hear myself think. And Autzen against Ohio State, stupid loud. So the whole it's not that loud thing, it's just...
Well, it will be for number one Oregon.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
it'll be rocking.
Being a Kansas basketball fan, I can tell you the loudest place I've ever been is Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
It's 18,000 people yeah. inside, all on top of each
going
other.
Crazy.
It can be nuts.
Yeah.
But I will say, when you're a program like Kansas basketball or Michigan football, but certainly Ohio State is going through this. The Columbus Dispatch just wrote a whole article about it.
Yeah, the fans are lazy.
Yeah, did you read that?
Yeah.
They said their article was, why can't Ohio Stadium be more like Autzen?
Yeah, I mean, they don't have the passion.
And it's because they get spoiled. Yeah. And so when it's not a big game, it's maybe not as loud.
Yeah.
That I've experienced that at Kansas. I would imagine at Michigan that's very true. But, dude, when number one Oregon is coming to town...
They're a proud program, and they will still understand the assignment.
Yeah.
Like, they know what's up. So, you're going to get the best crowd possible for the program they have right now.
Go back and look at that USC game. It was a big deal that USC came in there, and it was loud. I remember watching that game. It was popping. Yeah. So they'll be ready. It'll be loud in there. Now, I don't know if it's in Autzen Stadium loud, but it'll be loud. Yeah.
Wherever your rival plays sucks, and it's not loud. Right.
Harmon, yeah, he doesn't like Michigan, so of course he's saying that. But.
Well, like, would any Oregon player say that Husky Stadium isn't loud, and would any Husky player say that Autzen Stadium isn't loud? Because if you are, you're just lying.
Well, not bad.
It's so loud.
Can we get that clipped? Can we see what that sounds like in a drop?
Sure.
Drop form.
The first.
By the way, the Ahoy earlier was there's a little too much overlap for it to work as a drop.
Damn
so
it!
Crap.
We'll have to try again tomorrow.
Coming out of high school, the first time that I went to loud stadiums, it was a bit shocking. It was a bit of a sort of moment where you're like, because I played high school in Vancouver, Washington. Yeah, not exactly Autzen Stadium. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself thrown into my first game was at Alabama. It was the first game I ever actually played, was at Alabama as a redshirt freshman. And I thought I was going to poo my pants. I was like, oh my God. And then that year, we also played at Old Husky Stadium. And it was the same thing where I wasn't aware that a stadium could get that loud. And then, you know, you kind of learn to adjust. You've played in loud places, and loud is loud, and it sucks, and it's hard. But, I mean, all those environments are tough, and they're loud.
I wonder is there anything to just the stadium structures? Like,
sure.
Somebody was mentioning that they went to the Big House, and it really didn't feel that loud because of how wide and open the stadium is.
Yeah,
because it's so big.
Yeah.
Maybe that is a thing. And then people keep saying this about Autzen that you mentioned it a second ago, but is it built in a way that it contains the noise?
But there's no, the Metrodome when we, in Minnesota, like that was a dome. And I'm telling you, that place was stupid loud. Like, you're like, oh my God, but that's a dome. You can kind of seal it in, but
I mean, so it's not necessarily about the number of fans.
No,
it's
But I mean, the you know, I've never played there, but guys that I've played with and against talk about Beaver Stadium, with Penn State. That's 100,000.
Yeah,
I've never heard anyone say that Tennessee isn't anything but oh my God, loud, and it's 100,000. Death Valley and LSU. So there is an element of size but passion. Like when when I was at that Ohio State game, the cool thing about that was that stadiums can get loud in spots. Autzen Stadium against Ohio State was loud the entire game. First down, second down, third down, did not matter. That place was bonkers. Timeouts, they had the crowd going. There was a weird, consistent energy. And that, to me, is one that I'll say, as I've traveled and played at different places, the stadiums that can keep it going and not just have the peaks and valleys, those are the ones where it just it kind of gets you because it just never ends. You're on the sidelines and it won't stop.
Well, this may piss off Ohio State and Michigan guy.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that the best environment in the Big Ten is Penn State.
That's what a lot of people say that.
And it's because it's the size of those other two, but it's also
keeps it in.
I don't know. I don't know.
Autzen, something like that.
Yeah, they're just a little bit more. They're more into it.
And they get rowdy, and you know what? They do the whites. It's the whiteouts.
Yeah, they white out.
They do the whiteouts.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Michigan and Ohio State are just flat out overrated. How about that?
Lame.
Let's start that Reddit thread.
Losers.
Can they get banished to the new Mountain West? I mean, come on. Let's get some real teams in here.
They did win a national title last year.
Oh, yeah. Some real environments.
That's right. It's ridiculous. I've always wanted to go to Wisconsin. I've heard Camp Randall is a great place. And like Virginia Tech doesn't have a big stadium, but again, I've heard that like when they do the Enter Sandman, I've heard Virginia Tech. So maybe for the first time ever, you can tell your lady size doesn't matter.
Yeah, Kansas State. has that. I was telling you about that
last week.
It's a small stadium, but man, they get rowdy. They're kind of like Autzen in that way. So yeah, a lot of it has to do with the fan base too. Yeah. This spoiled brat, Ohio State and Michigan bitches. Come on, man.
Ridiculous.
Come on, man. All right, coming up next. You know what? I'm going to call an audible. I do have something I want to bring up about the Major League Baseball Fox pre and post game show.
Let's do it.
And I have a question about
is,
that.
Is it Big Poppy's hair?
No.
I was going to ask about the axle grease going on there.
I don't know what's happening.
I like Big Poppy.
I do too. I love Big Poppy, but I don't know what to make of that.
Well, it's his style, man.
What is it? I want to know.
Big Poppy.
What product? Where do you get that?
You should DM him.
Is it gum?
I don't know.
Is it gum? Wow. But I want to read you something from that Columbus Dispatch article, too.
Okay.
What they were saying about Autzen. Coming up next on The Fan. New soup drop. Fantastic.
Do it again.
I'm in on that one. Drop that on my page if you would. I'll be using that. I wanted to read you a little bit of this Columbus Dispatch thing. I don't know how many people saw this, but the Columbus Dispatch.
Yeah, Ohio State losing two in a row to Oregon and then the environment and how the nation saw it. I think it rattled Ohio State a little bit.
Yeah, Rob Aller from the Dispatch wrote this column today, and it reads, Ohio State game day atmosphere needs energy boost, better music, and fewer commercials. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in here, but he writes, the Oregon part I wanted to read, he writes, Oregon presented an almost anything goes vibe that, minus the F-bomb chance ending with Ohio State, turned Autzen into a tailgate party inside the stadium. Mostly what I picked up on at Oregon was a stadium crowd that doesn't take itself too seriously. That is not to say Duck fans don't want to win, but nervous energy is channeled into a freewheeling response more than the often angst-riddled mood of Ohio State fans in the horseshoe. Some of that is cultural. Eugene strikes me as a larger Berkeley, California. I was surprised to learn it's at 177,000 population, second largest city in Oregon that actually cares about sports, not just causes. But a larger part has to do with expectations. Ohio State has never experienced a prolonged down cycle. The last time the Buckeyes struggled through consecutive losing seasons was in the 20s.
Yeah.
The unbroken line of success over generations has spoiled OSU fans into taking winning for granted. Thus, when games like Nebraska get tight, the crowds often are anxious and annoyed when they should be, turning the horseshoe into the horseshoe by screaming their optimism onto the field.
I see what he did there. That's clever.
Well, I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's exactly right.
Sure.
And that, I just hope that Oregon never gets that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, I have heard over the years from some Duck fan that think that Autzen isn't as loud as it used to be, or it goes through ebbs and flows. And, you know, you've heard some criticism that when it's not big games, but dude, I'll tell you what, anyone that was doubting that Oregon still had their fastball, see Ohio State. And the same thing with Husky Stadium. You know how many, my dear friend is a diehard Husky fan. He went there, wife went there, kid went there, bleeds purple. And he even said it, that new Husky Stadium was not the same. And then after the Oregon game, they were like, we're back. And it was like, well, was it not the same as the old one? Or were you not that good?
Yeah, exactly.
Because all of a sudden, when you're winning and playing for a national title and your rival comes there and you play one of the best games I've ever seen, it felt like old Husky Stadium. So it's twofold, right? You got to have the venue, you got to have passionate fans, and you got to give the fans a reason to get hyped. Now, the spoiled thing, that's an Ohio State thing. Nick Saban talked about that. Down at Alabama, he goes, my God, we need you to be in your seat, and we need you cheering. And you want to talk about a spoiled fan base, they're like, ho-hum. If it's not like a top five matchup, no one down there cares.
Yeah.
And so those are all real factors.
Yeah, I'm hoping that doesn't happen to Oregon.
Yeah.
But, you know, who was it? Was it Joey the other day that brought up that the chip teams brought a little bit of that?
Absolutely.
Because they were just kicking everybody's ass.
Yep. Yeah, there's the expectation you're going to win everyone by 40, and there's no drama.
And it's boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matt Finks is a former Ohio State defensive lineman, and he said, I will say this again, after attending games at Washington and Oregon, then being at the Shoe today, Buckeye in-game experience is absolutely awful. Yeah. Fans are disengaged, no one stands up, no one cheers, no energy, students roll in at the end of the first quarter, it's just bad all the way around.
Yeah. And this is the other one I'll say, is in-game, what do you call the,
In-game experience.
I don't know who's in charge of that, like what department that is, but
it's usually game operations.
Game ops.
The people that get it, you can immediately tell when someone is dialed in. You know, when you go see a place, even in professional sports, there is an element to keeping a fan base engaged. And those that do it well, dude, that is worth its weight in gold. And you can go there and you can be entertained because so much of football is balanced. It's, remember, what is the, like, how much actual game time there is? How much?
The game, like, the ball is actually in play. Is
dude,
like,
it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's like 13.
it's seriously, it's yeah. just, it's stupid
it's
low.
Less than a quarter of the game.
And so you have to be able to keep people engaged. And little things, again, we'll just take what Oregon does. But even Oregon State, like with the chainsaw, right? On third down, where you get that the buzz, or that never rains at Autzen, or that's another Beaver first down, or... But the coming home, right? The Matt Kearney song, the shout in the fourth quarter, the pregame stuff that they do, you know, with the motorcycle and all that, and the different video board stuff. And they did they're constantly doing stuff with the duck. All of that stuff keeps people engaged and lets, like, what would you say? The guy said they don't take themselves too seriously. It lets people know, hey, you're here to have a good time. It's okay.
It's about having fun, not just getting wrapped up in the game.
Yeah, there were a couple of Ohio State fans that were sitting behind us when we were at the game, and you could tell they were a little annoyed because some people in front were standing the entire time. And they're like, oh my God, it just, can you sit down for 2 seconds? I need to see the field. I don't want to stand the entire game. And I kind of turned and was like, I hate to tell you this, but I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen. Like, and you know, we were 40 rows up and it didn't matter. People were just on their feet and you know, that makes a difference.
Yeah. He says, the last paragraph here says, Ohio State also can't do anything about stadium acoustics. Ohio Stadium is not as bad as Michigan Stadium at allowing noise to escape into the ether, but it also can't match Autzen, where a roof overhang on the press box side of the stadium traps sound, making 55,000 fans sound like 100,000. So that's to your point about
The way it's constructed.
Yeah. So, yeah, kind of interesting.
I guess Minnesota, the Gophers, when they built their stadium, they did something. Like, they did I forget what it was, but the way they built it and the materials they used, they were trying to do something to amplify sound because it's not a very big stadium. They built it on campus, and I think it's like maybe 38,000-40,000. And I was reading a thing, and this is years ago, and it's supposedly it's a really cool stadium. It's outdoors, but Minnesota built it knowing that they're not going to have giant crowds, but they wanted it to be as loud as possible. And I guess that went into the thought of the construction of the stadium, which is a smart move.
All right, we'll get to a little baseball. Well, you know, it's the World Series. I just had a question. I was watching the pregame show, and a question popped in my mind, and I want to see what you guys think.
It's molasses. That's what's in his hair. Molasses.
Wait, are you being serious?
No, just throwing out another idea.
He fascinates me. I love Big Papi.
Big Pop. Remember when he got shot?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so we'll have to get to that later. We'll do it next hour. Also next hour, we've got the college football playoff bracket and what it would look like this week, and our running backs having a resurgence. But we must move on to In the News. Your noted newsman is here, and we don't just kill off people prematurely on this show. We kill off businesses, too. That's next. Here's Buck. I have a homework assignment for tomorrow for myself.
Oh. I thought it was like, really? You're handing out assignments?
Yeah, I thought you were giving assignments to me and Sue. No. And I was like, hold on here.
Yeah, what are we doing? Hold on.
No, it's for me because I like looking this kind of thing up.
Hold on, everybody.
Someone texted the Vancouver Four text line and said, I wonder when the last time a team beat both Ohio State and Michigan in the same season.
It's a good question.
It's a great question. And I just, the quick Google search revealed a whole lot of nothing. So I think it's one of those you're going to have to go back manually. But they don't lose all that often.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't lose many games a year.
If you find both, tallied all the losses in the years they took place, you could probably figure it out.
So I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
You know, well, my first.
And I'll report back.
My first inclination was you just got to find someone that won the Big Ten championship.
Well, find one that wasn't Ohio State and Michigan.
Exactly, right? You go back and like, I mean, I know Penn State and Wisconsin have won, but what are the chances they beat them on the same? It would have to be that. It's going to be Penn State or Wisconsin.
Right now, it is October 30, 2024. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you. Thank you so much. Please be seated, all of you. There's our new fun drop from Sucanic today. Yeah. It's labeled Dumb Guffaw.
That's what he labeled it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what you were trying to do. You were trying to do a dumb, the stadium's not that loud. You know? So it's.
I do know.
See, this, I found kind of an answer, but it's confusing. We'll talk about it later. AI came up with an answer, but it doesn't make any sense.
Hey, yeah. AI came up with an answer the other day when I was looking for the back-to-back duck shutouts, and it gave me a patently wrong answer.
Yeah, AI. I've had a lot of AI answers that are wrong.
It wasn't like, we don't know. It's like, here's the right answer, and it wasn't.
AI's stupid.
Way to go, Elon.
Overrated.
Thanks a lot, Obama.
This is brought to you by the Advocates Injury Attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is National Candy Corn Day. I assume that's because Halloween is tomorrow.
When's the last time you had some candy corn?
I find candy corn gross, and I don't eat it.
I'm not going to say that candy corn is gross, but I'm also never going to go out of my way. Like, sometimes it's on like Halloween cookies.
I think the litmus test is, if there's a bowl of it sitting out at your office, do you grab a handful or do you grab a couple?
No.
I don't.
No, that's right.
And I do.
That's right. Really?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go out of my way to buy it. I would never purchase it. But if somebody had some candy corn, I'll eat one or two.
It is also National Text Your Ex Day.
Why is that a day?
I don't think that's a good idea at all.
Is that also known as Booty Call Day? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that idea either. I'm with Suk.
You don't.
Not a good day.
No.
Don't text them.
That's bad.
For her. Well, we have a reputation on this show for killing off people prematurely.
Started with Jim J. Bullock, and then we have it's really gone from there.
Yeah, now this one is not my fault. This one is your fault.
It is.
Oh, no. Oh,
it
no.
is, because I was asking about this the other day, and you said that this was long gone. Mm-hmm. It is not. I wanted to point out to the people of Portland and Vancouver, or Guam, wherever you're listening, because we're global now, you know.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
Say what?
They're eating the pets.
The last Blockbuster in Bend is open.
Well, no. We clarified that.
You said it was closed.
No. And then I said, no, you can. I don't think it's a Blockbuster anymore. I think you rent it out for like parties and stuff.
No. It's a Blockbuster.
It's still a Blockbuster.
Correct.
Okay. As far as.
You rent movies there.
Oh, see, I said I thought it was closed as a Blockbuster, but you could still go in and you rent
like
out.
Like Airbnb it, kind of?
Yeah, you like Airbnb it, and you go in and it's a Blockbuster with all the movies, but you stay there. You don't just go in and rent movies. So it's a functioning Blockbuster.
Correct.
Okay.
All the hit movies.
It's a B&B. It's a bed and Blockbuster.
You go in and rent a.
Like bed and breakfast, bed and
DVD?
Blockbuster.
Who even has a DVD I get player
it.
Anymore?
It works.
I didn't love it, but no. I get it.
Do you have a DVD player?
No. No. I don't.
I do have a DVD player. Yeah. It hasn't been used in 6 years.
It says, don't believe everything you read on the internet. No, we are not closing on Halloween. We will be here until the bitter end. Mm. Numerous inaccurate social media posts about the phony closure reached more than 100,000 people.
Wow.
Fake news.
Fake news. Okay. Look at you. You probably started it.
I didn't write about it, so there was an article.
You said it on your big hot radio show.
Said it on the big radio show,
You do it anymore, you're going to have problems.
Yeah, you do that anymore, you're going to have problems.
Sorry to that one Blockbuster still hanging on. I wonder if they're doing monumental business down there.
I love cows.
Not a lot of Reese's Pieces, are you? Some Skittles?
Now watch this drive.
I can't tell you how many times I'd have to get to the Blockbuster like right after school on a Friday.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, you got to get there. If you were there after 4 o'clock on Friday... Right.
You're not getting anything.
No, you're not getting Die Hard 2.
I'd be like talking to the person at the desk. So when's that movie supposed to be coming back? Like there's like a timestamp on it.
Did you do this where you talk him into looking through the movies that just came into the
end? Yeah, because you check the slot.
Yeah.
And then get all pissy about it. You're like, look, come on, man. I got to get Showgirls. Let's do this.
Why don't you guys have 3 copies?
And the other thing that was kind of fun, at least I thought it was kind of fun, was when the movie that you went there to get or the couple movies that you had in your mind, mm-hmm. when they weren't available, when you still were able to find something cool, and you're like, wow, that I really want
to
watch this.
When you were forced to pivot, and then you're like, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Uh-huh.
There was something about that that was satisfying.
I understand.
Well, Portland police have released a description of the person who they believe set fire to ballot boxes, destroying hundreds of ballots in Vancouver and Portland early this week. Of course, we have talked about that here on this program. We don't shy away from the big stories.
We go head first into it.
The controversial stories. The man is believed to be white, between 30 to 40 years old, and is balding or has very short hair. He has a medium to thin build with a thin face.
I'm out.
So that really narrows it down.
It's basically one of 8 million people.
I will say, of all the fan personalities, that kind of fits Brandon Sprague the most, doesn't it?
Interesting.
Yeah, probably so.
White, between 30 and 40, balding.
No.
Short hair.
The balding part.
He's really balding, isn't he?
No.
No, Dirt is, but Sprague's not.
Dirt needs
Dirt to talks about it a lot.
Yeah. Dirt knows that his days are numbered, but no, I think Sprague's fine.
Medium to thin build with a thin face.
That could be Sprague. I'm out. No one's going to confuse me for having a thin build or... No one's ever questioned my baldness. Hey, is he bald? Kinda.
Maybe Ortner?
Ooh.
Yeah.
But he's a little younger.
He's a little younger.
Yeah.
Plus, you would just say with Ortner, he's just a big dude.
He's still a big dude, even though he's slimmed down.
Yeah.
Portland police said the man may have metalworking experience based on the very detailed welding on the device used to set the fires.
What?
He's a welder.
So
he's a metalworker.
He used a torch to light them on fire? You would think there'd be an easier way to light a ballot box on fire, but...
He's driving that 2001 to 2004 Volvo S60, dark colored, perhaps black.
I do not own a Volvo. I feel like I'm in the clear.
Black, please. Thank you. And the other thing that they found was on the device, whatever he threw in there, there is a Free Gaza... saying on there.
So he's
So
if you're free,
so he's some sort of extremist, but we're not sure how it affects these ballots.
Yeah. Again, I'm fascinated at the guy who's so upset over the Gaza thing, he's willing to go to jail by lighting some insignificant ballots on fire. Good plan. Good plan.
Well, Jason, there's no such thing as an insignificant ballot.
That's true.
You son of a bitch.
It's like 100 ballots in what was. This one was in where?
The Couve, right?
The Couve, right? Vancouver?
Yeah, Couve is where he did the most damage. Yeah. The Portland one had the fire, inside fire
the suppressant thing, which was kind of cool to find out that we've got booby traps on the ballot boxes. And now we're having to have it is amazing how much, someone got arrested, did you see in Florida, for threatening someone early voting with a machete?
Yeah, he was threatening all the old ladies.
Yeah.
All the old Florida ladies.
Tried to come vote, and he didn't like the way the cut of their jib, so he threatened him with a machete. And I think one of the
that's how you get the voting results you want.
That is how you get it. It's just, to be whoever is an election worker out there, God bless you. Because you're out there doing the Lord's work, and no one's giving you any attaboys, and I'm sorry you're having to deal with this.
Somebody says, come on, no welder drives a Volvo and roots for Gaza.
It does seem a little odd, but...
Come on, you can't put people in a box.
I like that the voter terrorist here guy is he's breaking the norms.
He's a terrorist?
Well, he's a voting terrorist.
Oh. Yeah. Well, they said that the saying Free Gaza and Free Palestine were on the devices used to burn ballot boxes. And they're also claiming that he may be plotting based on his social media or something. I don't know. No, they would know who he is if they had his social media. But they say he may be plotting more of these attacks on your freedoms.
Great. Can't wait.
Tell you who wouldn't allow this. Donald Trump. Oh wait, maybe he would.
Put a stop to this. Toot sweet.
Toot sweet. Great drop. Love that.
You're welcome.
I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah.
Toot sweet.
Toot sweet.
What are you, a grandma?
What? I don't know where Toot Sweet came from, but...
Well, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
It's something that, for whatever reason, my mom used to say. I don't know. I don't know the origin of it, but...
Next story. How are Portland's jails near capacity when we never arrest anyone?
That does seem like an interesting sort of conundrum.
That's next on The Fan. We only have time for one more story tonight, guys. And it's a big one. Okay?
All right. I'm ready.
Let's talk about jails.
Yeah, let's do it.
Multnomah County Sheriff is sounding the alarm.
Yeah, put him in jail!
As two jails in the Portland area are nearing capacity.
Am I wrong in that all prisons are always near capacity, or is that just...
This is jail, okay. Not prison.
Not prison.
Two different things.
Can we just send them to prison instead?
Well, no.
No.
I don't think you can, actually.
No?
Or can you?
Oh.
That's a good question.
Oh. Jail is where you await prison. I think you can be in jail up to like a year or two. And
but
then...
if you're in jail and the jail's overcrowded and they don't want to let you out, can they throw you in a prison cell?
I don't know.
I don't think they can.
No?
I don't think they can do
that. I don't think you know that in any shape or form. You are completely unconfident in that answer.
Yeah, that's right. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong.
It's valid. Wow.
In a report to county stakeholders this week, are you a county stakeholder?
I don't think I am. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. It's a weird term. Sheriff Nicole Morrissey O'Donnell said both the Multnomah County Detention Center in downtown Portland and Multnomah County Inverness Jail in northeast Portland have reached 90% capacity, which puts them under a yellow alert. Mm. Currently, jail staff are reviewing which adults in custody would be eligible for release if the jails get even more crowded. Once they hit 95% or red alert, a forced release will be triggered by state law.
Is it possible that if you were in jail, could you hire people for petty crimes to force overcrowding knowing that you would be released? Genius.
That is genius.
I like this
idea. Yeah, you'd think, though, that there'd be some sort of hierarchy system so it wasn't just like a last in, first out
kind of thing. You gotta have a guy on the inside. Yeah. It's like, yeah, just make sure I get moved to the front.
Hey, if you're going to get release. Pinched anyways, just...
Can I also ask a dumb question?
Absolutely.
Why... Why does it have to get to 95% and not 100%?
Oh.
I mean,
it's a good question.
That seems kind of dumb to say.
Like if we're
5%, we can't handle that last 5% anyway. Well, why not?
Yeah, it does seem a little odd.
We got some perps.
Yeah, because at 90%, there's still. I mean, you still have 10% capacity. That'd be like if you're driving your car and you got down to 10%. You're like, oh my god, I'm out of gas. No, you're not.
Yeah,
you got 10% left.
I need you to jump out right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't take you to your destination. Either.
Well, you know what? I've never thought about that, but that is a very, very good point. If only you were a county stakeholder, you could bring that up.
If I were a county stakeholder, I would say we're changing this to when jails hit 100%.
Then, yeah, we'd fire off the alert.
And then what we're doing is we're doubling them up and we're putting in another half of the population.
Can't we just do like an extra bunk bed or something? I don't know how all that works. You probably get a shortage of jail staff and, I don't know, humane conditions and whatnot.
Forced releases, when you look at the system as a whole, that is a reflection of the failure of our system of accountability and our rehabilitative goals, she said.
Well, that I know that our prison system sucks when it comes to that. Like, we have the worst, recidivist rate in civilized countries. We don't do well. Well, we send people to prison and then we just
you know who talks about that?
We bring them back.
Is old Larry Miller, the old Blazers president?
Yeah,
Nike guy.
Yeah,
he talks about that.
Yeah,
because he was in prison.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's
killed a guy.
Well, there's a lot of countries have come to the conclusion that if you keep putting people in prison, you end up spending an S ton of money on arresting them and keeping them in prison, as opposed to spending some money to keep them out of prison and give them a trade and help them with housing. But we have a problem in our country, and I get it. We have an issue giving people that are criminals resources. Like, the people just... Can you imagine the debate or the talking point if someone came out and said, here's what we're going to do to prisoners. We're going to make jails nicer. We're going to make them more luxurious. We're going to offer more programs. We're going to give them housing when they get out, like decent housing, and find them good paying jobs and teach them skills. Dude, people would lose their effing minds.
They would.
But other countries have figured out that when you spend that money, you end up saving money and you don't have to keep sending people back to prison. But we have that mentality where we are not. There's no way our political system could allow
not here
that to happen.
Not up in here.
No.
And, you know, I watch enough prison shows to know that some of these dudes...
Yeah, they don't belong
in society. Dude, they aren't... Yeah. No. I mean, it's just not happening.
Nope.
And we need to be careful about how much we spend on them because they're just, you know, they're coming back.
You know what we do then?
Uh-oh.
Bum voyage. Anybody? Hello? You know where there's not a big problem? Middle of the ocean. Send them out. Is that Australia was started, right? They had that idea back in the day. I don't know. Send them to Australia.
Yeah, and the Aussies are delightful.
If we sent everyone to, like, Greenland, like, in 300 years, would we be like, man, those Greenland people are great. They got to figure it out. It's a little chilly, but, you know, works.
You know, it's possible.
Yeah. Hey, let's try it. What's going on in Greenland right now?
No handouts?
Yeah, send them that way.
An appreciation, you know, maybe at their core for freedoms.
Yeah. Tell you what, you spent a couple winters
unlike out, Ohio State fans.
You spent a couple winters out there, all of a sudden, got a newfound respect for the law in heat.
Well, they say a forced release hasn't happened here in years. The sheriff said her team has seen an increase in inmates in custody, especially over the past 10 months, and said she does not see that rate slowing down.
Being a man of increase?
So what you're telling me right now is if I wanted to commit a crime and go to jail, now is the time to do it.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I mean, they don't have really a place for you if it's a petty crime.
Like, as I'm getting arrested, I'm like, I'll be back onto the street in 6 minutes.
But what if everyone who's been in before you gets to get out first because it's like the order that you went in?
Oh.
That would be a big problem for you.
I don't think
they don't do it by order.
No, I would think not. But so,
as long as I'm not committing, like, violent crimes, think
you
I'm
could go
something.
Steal a golf travel bag.
Maybe that's what someone's doing right now. They're like, go ahead, prosecute me, Sook. What if I called the police and told them that my golf travel bag was indeed stolen?
How long would it take them to hang up on you?
That's like horseradish.
Is it wrong that I kind of want to do that?
Or do they have to like be like, oh, okay.
Someone down there has to file a manual report.
Someone have to take my complaint because my golf bag was indeed stolen. And they're like, where was it stolen? From my office. What do you mean? No, it was stolen right outside of my office.
Which is worse? That or what I had recently, which I have alluded to as we always pile on insurance companies, but in the middle of the night, one night recently, we heard a kind of a thud outside.
Yeah.
And we got up and looked out there and there was a truck, a big semi-truck, at about 2 a.m. going through our intersection right outside the house. Mm-hmm. And we didn't really know what he was doing, but he sat out there for a while. We're like, what the hell? Did he hit something? What's going on? And we were just like, I thought nothing of it. We went back to bed.
Sure.
Well, we got up the next morning. He backed into our fence.
Oh.
And so we had, you know, there's damage. I mean, it's definitely going to cost several hundred dollars to fix. Yeah. But
oh,
it's
no,
not.
Oh, no.
I mean, you know.
Did you call the police?
No. I didn't even think to. I was just going to call the insurance company and say, hey, you know, this, you know, let's get this
fixed. You know
fixed.
What the insurance company is going to tell you?
Well, I already told you this. The insurance company, the claims guy called. He's like, ha ha, Mr. Rop, I see your deductible here is far too high. And, oh, by the way, we need a police report. Would you like me to go ahead and close this? And I said, yeah, close it.
That's it.
Freaking insurance companies.
Should have called the cops.
They need a police report for that?
Yeah.
So that's why I'm not calling the cops. Just close it. I'll just pay for it. You freaking
And
bitch.
That's how
so
the
which
criminals
is
win.
Which is worse? You calling the cops over your bag or me calling the cops over my little fence? And by the way, that fence is janky anyway.
I think they're both hanging up on us. I don't think either one of us.
Yeah,
is.
Like that's the thing is this guy was from I don't know where the claims guy was from.
Yeah.
He wasn't from Portland, and he's like, "Well, just call the police and file a report." I'm like, "Dude,
like,
I live in Portland.
Like,
are
really?
You? Do you know what's going
the
on here?"
You said Portland, the guy's like, "Yeah, it's fine."
He's like, "Oh yeah, I get that."
Yeah, you know what? You're hooped. Sorry,
you're screwed. Oh, you live in Portland? Yeah, you're screwed.
Call the advocates. You're in trouble.
Yeah, somebody said they can't hang up on you if they never answer the phone.
It's a valid point. I like it. A lot of good points being made today.
Good point radio here. Well, that's in the news. Hopefully they don't let too many perps out onto the streets to break into your cars.
Unless it's me.
October 30, 2024, brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 at 5 is next on The Fan.